even as John 3:16 is probably the most recognized verse in the Bible, this little passage is another one that's up there with everybody's heard. I can't say they know it, but they recognize it and come along with that. And because of that, it's the love story. Christmas. The whole thing about Christmas is a love story. The celebration of that. Hope, peace, joy, and today, love. You can't have hope, peace, or joy without love. Conversely, you don't have love, you ain't got squat. You have nothing without love. Christmas is actually the love story based upon God and His intents for the world, and all other love stories are based upon that. Do you remember the Love Is cuties from the 70s? I get some smiles from bafflement. Love Is, a woman named Kim and her husband Robert from Australia generated these cartoons back beginning in the 60s called Love Is, and it was always a picture of two people. Very crudely drawn. Always, almost always anyway. I'd never seen them otherwise. Always naked. And you can tell which is the boy and which is the girl because one has longer hair than the other one does. And the cartoon was always a single panel. It later branched out into a strip, but mainly a single panel, and it always said, love is something following it. The most famous one was love is being able to say you're sorry. If you remember this at all, you might think that's kind of different, but I'll get there in a second. These little cuties were super. All of their love is comments were kind of sappy. Those was better than the alternative you could have had. Evil is having fun all the time. No, I don't think you want to see that. About the same time as that love is being able to say you're sorry, a movie came out called Love Story. You ever seen the movie Love Story? Have you? I've never seen it. I've never watched it. Ally McGraw, right? In that movie, they changed it, made it love is never having to say you're sorry. That's a big jump from being in a place, yeah, Bob, I screwed up, I'm sorry. Being able to tell him that, being close enough, I can tell him that I made a mistake, I goofed. As opposed to, Bob won't care. He'll know I love my man. I don't have to apologize. Love is being able to say you're sorry, not never having to say you're sorry. And whoever wrote that, I don't think he'd ever been in love. Or never been in a good, close relationship. The closer you are to another person, the more hurts you can cause. I've done my share. More than that. Haven't you? Admit it. Haven't you hurt somebody because you were close to them? You have to admit it. I admit it. Unfortunately, I miss it sometimes. There are some things that I'm just kind of telling you that I don't realize I've done somebody wrong. And it's not a lack of care or lack of love. It's a, I guess my mind isn't wired that way to pick up on these all the time. But if you're honest, you're probably that same boat too. Now, back to the Christmas love story. And Ahaz. Ahaz was a king of northern Israel, but was the kingdom of Israel, kingdom of Ephraim. And he ruled from about 736 to 715 B.C. And he happened to be the king that was running the place when the whole northern part of the country was conquered by the Assyrians in 721. Not only that, but he was complicit in that. He helped the Assyrians come take over his country. That caused what we call the first Jewish diaspora. You heard the expression, the 10 lost tribes. Well, back then, the Assyrians came in and took all the leaders and a lot of the people and moved them. That's how the Assyrians stabilized their empire. They'd conquer a new place, take those people and stick them somewhere way away and bring new people in. They had no love or connection to the land. It really kind of stabilized. But Ahaz, he wasn't popular. I don't think he was a very loving guy either. He paganized the country of Ephraim, of Israel. His son Hezekiah, you probably heard that name, Hezekiah reformed what his father had done, returned to Yahweh. And it is through him that Jesus is descended. One of Jesus' ancestors, more than one actually, was a month of a king. But love prevails eventually. For Hezekiah, it was love of country and love of God. For us all, it's love of God. Ahaz and Isaiah, from whom we hear about it, had a tumultuous relationship. I don't think there was a whole lot of love lost there, except Isaiah's love of God. Because this guy, Ahaz, was a nasty guy. And yet, when God told Isaiah, prophesy to this guy, tell him things he's not going to like, Isaiah did it. He didn't care about consequences. We shouldn't care about consequences when we're doing God's thing. But Isaiah's love for God and his response is a recurring theme in Scripture. The weird thing is, funny in a strange sense, Ahaz always listened to Isaiah's rebukes. He paid attention. Didn't do anything about it, but he did listen. His only redeeming characteristic, apparently. Because Ahaz never repented of the evil that he caused. He set up totems in the temple and had desolating type sacrifices. It was not a good thing. But because of Ahaz and his steadfastness in refusing to repent and turn back to God, we have this prophecy. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the young woman will give you a child and give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Gift of love. So today we celebrate love. We should every day, but today especially. Love in all of its non-perverted manifestations. Greek, ancient Greek has five different words for it. I bet you I'm going to miss. You have storge, you've got eros, you have agape, and you have philios, and there's one more that actually isn't in the Bible, so I never remember what it is. Storge is, philio is love of family, love, that's really the Philadelphia, which means brotherly love. Eros, which is sexual love, and then you've got agape, which is the type of love we feel towards other believers, other people, period. The kind of love Jesus exuded. About halfway through, as I'm going to think of what the last word is that popping out, it's five of them. And in a way, that's good because we can talk about love differently. All we have is the word love. Hey, Doc, you know what? I love popcorn. Andrea, I love you. I think I'll keep Pearl rather than popcorn. That would be a lie, and I really don't love popcorn. We use the same word. It's different in Greek. And love, because of that, in our culture today, gets perverted. You wind up... Well, just look around. What happens in the world, there are many excessive demonstrations of perverted love today. They're abounding everywhere. And we are being indoctrinated to accept these things, even though they go against God in His order, His perfect order. That any action, any thought, no matter if you claim it comes from love, and goes against God's order, it's perverse. Not just talking about sexuality here, but it's a prime example, because there are so many sexual perversions we see today, you can't avoid them. And they're obviously against God's creation and are harmful to God's children. Whether it's something done between consenting adults, or whether it's violence, rape, or child molestation, they're all sinful, abomination, it's plain wrong. Likewise, the profusion of religions in this world. How many, if I said, name me religions, how many could you come up with? Probably quite a few. The state of Florida, as of August of 2024 anyway, recognized 111 different religions that inmates in Florida correction system were allowed to worship, including the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. And they were working on accepting the Church of the Jedi. Yeah. So these are, one little sidetrack, Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster actually exists. It actually is a legal religion. It was made up for fun. And the picture of the spaghetti monster, it looks kind of like an octopus, but it's spaghetti with meatballs falling out of a colander. When you search for it online, you can even find people who have their photographs taken for their driver's license with a colander on their head. Because that is their sacred thing. Like a Jew with a yarmulke, but that means a colander. I cannot make this up. But all these religions, not just those 111, but they go on and on and on, they abrogate the word of God, whether it's their tradition, their actions, their scripture that's written. They're all perverse and condemnable, and blasphemy and heresy abound. And I'm not talking about the kinds of differences in tradition that Lutherans have with Presbyterians and have with Anglicans and have with Romans. We can disagree on some of their theological points, and they can disagree with some of ours. At the center, though, who's at the center? Love is at the center. And if you want to tell me that you have to be completely immersed to be baptized, well, I'm not. That's not a game breaker. I'm not going to walk off on you for that. I think you're wrong. I know you're wrong. Still, that's different than some of these things out there that are satanic. Even blasphemers, or even atheists are blasphemers. And I've got a pretty wide definition of what constitutes Satan, satanic religions. Any religion that is not Christian is satanic. Which is why atheism is a religion, because it believes in nothing, is satanic. Worship of any other god than our own is satanic. Unfortunately, the world, as messed up as it has been like this since the very first blasphemy of evil Adam and Eve. As human beings, we have done abominations in life to life. Our lives, others' lives, and even the creation. Where does it stop? When does it stop? The perversion that we cause in life stops with Jesus. I saw a very quick clip this morning of a guy who says, you know, last year I got so sick and tired of people being offended with Merry Christmas. Because that can be taken more than one way. So I said, I'm not going to say that anymore. From now on, when someone greets me, I'm going to say, may the birthday of the one true God shower blessings on you and your family. I bet you that caused lots and lots and lots of people to look at. I'm not going to try that. A little bit long, but the essence is there. Jesus is the linchpin of his. You know that, right? Everything is based on Jesus' birthday. Well, we call it birthday. It's not just coincidence that we define history as divided as B.C. and A.D., before Christ, or Anno Domini, which is the year of our Lord. I'm sorry, that's offensive, isn't it? How many of you just got offended when I say A.D.? Oh. You know it's been changed to C.E. and B.C.E. for the Common Era and before the Common Era? Okay, fine, change initials, make it B.C.E. and C.E. means before the Christian Era and the Christian Era. When somebody pushes that B.C.E. and C.E., I mean, that's how I respond to that. Really, it ticks off some people, too. Ticks me off on the other side. This white change. It is the same divide in history. That's the point. These people who want to change the language from B.C. to B.C.E. and from A.D. to C.E., they still use the same spot in time of the birth of Jesus. Kind of interesting, isn't it? These people who deny and deny, and they try to get away from it by changing the name. Can't change it. It's a great old hymn. I'm not sure it qualifies as a carol or not, probably. It was written as a poem in 1885 by a woman named Christina Rossetti. You ever heard of Christina Rossetti? Prior to the Italian-sounding name, she was English. And there were a couple of painters in her family that were famous. And she was a contemporary of Elizabeth Barrett Browning. And wasn't quite as noticed, but there are many who list her in the top 12 English poets of the last 300 years or whatever it was. But she wrote a poem that was untitled when it first was published, that subsequently became Caroline of King Dyke. Have you ever heard that? That song? It's in the hymn book. Love came down at Christmas, love all lovely, love fine. Love was born at Christmas, and stars and angels gave the sign. Worship we the Godhead, love incarnate, love divine. Worship we our Jesus, but where the sacred sign? The third and last verse is the one that grabs me. Love shall be our. Love be yours and love be mine. Love to God and all men. Love for plea and gift and sign. She had it right. I don't think she was necessarily writing for. I know she wasn't writing to be versified and sung as a carol. But she puts the proper place of love in our life as our token, as shared between you and another. Love to God and love for help. So love is what? Again, the love is being able to say you're sorry. It changes to love is never having to say you're sorry. Don't cut it. Both of those are a bit warped and perverted understanding of what love is. As I ranted on a little while ago, maybe rant isn't the right word, but sometimes ranting is good. I mean, it makes you feel good. But sometimes you have to get on a roll and just say what needs to be said. If they're righteous rants, like Jesus throwing over tables, remember, whipping people is a theologically correct response to problems based on Jesus, if you're righteous. Rants are okay if they're righteous from God's perspective. God is the only one who loves unblemishedly. I'm not sure if it works. He's the only one that does not pervert love in any form, any fashion, ever. And because of that, God is the only one who can redeem. Ellie, you're going to be our Savior. You're going to redeem us because you're perfect. Is she perfect, Ellie? Is she perfect? Is she perfect? All right, close enough, don't cut it. You might be pretty close, but don't cut it. Only God is perfect enough to redeem us. So love is, this is summing it up for you. Love is devotion to God. Devotion to husband and wife, children, devotion to family, basically. Devotion to each other, to our fellow human beings, no matter who they are. No matter how high or how low they might be in this thing. Love is in us, naturally. Because God put it there. Pure and innocent, we mess it up. We press it up because, well, we know the story, Adam and Eve. But love is in us. It flows from God. Love is manifested in Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Got three more for you, then I'm done. Love is incarnate in Jesus. Love came down at Christmas. Or, love divine, all loves excel. Another great old hymn. It's the love of God manifested in Jesus. What we have. I don't mean, this is my Bible. I have this. But what we have as our self. How we manifest. Love is what we have. Love is how we act. Love is who we are. When you meet somebody new, oftentimes they'll say to you, well, what are you? And they turn to me, what do you do for a living? You're a human being. Obviously. Although maybe today it's not obvious. We say, you know, what are you? Friend, what are you? She says, well, I'm an astronautical engineer. Oh, okay. But say, friend, who are you? She says the same thing. It's a problem there. What we do is not who we are. But love flows out of us, and love tells us who we are. Last one, love is Christmas. Love is Christmas in Christ alone. The comedian I quoted before, may the birthday of the one true God be a blessing upon you and your family. That's what it is. May Allah bless you and keep you. May Vishnu bless you and keep you. Now, I'm not going to tramp on you if you tell me you're a Hindu. I'm going to have a good conversation with you. You're still wrong. Love is God, from whom all blessings flow. The origin of love and the end point of love is God, because Scripture tells us God is love. Amen.